it is the beginning of the year, I thought I'd just set some foundations for where we're heading this year in regards to what I see as important. And one of the things that you and I need to be brought back to regularly is the concept of vision. And vision is the ability to see and to do and to be, to go somewhere, to have a bit of direction in life. And every year we need to be brought back to here because that establishes how this year turns out individually and as a church. So tonight's message is this: vision that makes a difference, all right? Vision that makes a difference. If your life, business, ministry is not helping anybody, if it's not improving anything, it's irrelevant and has no value. I'll say it again. If your life, your business, your ministry is not helping anybody, if it's not improving anything, it's irrelevant and has no value. The concept of vision is to make a difference. This guy was mowing his lawn and a stone flicked up and hit him in the arm. And it's a bit of a cut there, and he thought he'd better just get it attended to. So he went down to the local hospital, he wrapped something around his arm, and he walked into the hospital, and firstly there was this set of doors, and there were signs over each door, and the door said this: inpatient and outpatient. The sign said that above the doors. He said, well, I'm not staying in overnight, so I guess I'm an outpatient. So he went through that door. He walked down the corridor, then he came across another two doors, and they had signs above them. And one said internal issues, and the other one said external wounds. Well, he figured, well, it's nothing internal, it's an external wound. So he went down that door and he started walking in the corridor. And then he came across another two doors, and they had signs up. One said male, or one said female. And he obviously went down the male door and went into that one, walked in a little way, come to another two doors. And above those doors were another couple of signs, and it said over 40s. And under 40s, he says, well, I'm not 40, he's a young guy. So he goes through the under 40 door and walks down the corridor a little bit more. Comes to another set of doors, and there's two signs over that, and one says upper body wounds, and the other one says lower body wounds. So, well, it's an upper body wound, so he went down that door. And finally, down the corridor, he comes to another set of doors, and the sign said above that, serious injuries and minor injuries. Well, it was not that serious. So he went in the minor injury door and ended up back in the car park. And standing out there, he goes home just the same as he walked in, and his wife said, how did it go? And he says these words. He says, you know what? They didn't help me, but they sure were organized. And unless we're making a difference in somebody's life, we're irrelevant and a waste of time. The church is not meant to be organized at the sake of touching lives. We're not to be professional and incredible if we're not changing or making a difference in people's lives. We're called, the vision of the church is to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God. You, me, the church is here to affect our world for good and to infect our world with the goodness of God. And if we're not, then this is the year to set it down and say, you know what? This is the year I'm going to start making a difference. If you are, then this is the year to say, you know what? I want to take it up a level, because nothing, nowhere or no answer is needed greater than Jesus Christ in our generation. See, we've got to stop existing for the sake of existing. We've got to stop, well, I'm here. And no, that's not your lot to be here. Your reason is bigger than just existing. I mean, there's so much of the world is just here. It's just about survival. It's about getting through. It's about making it. It's never about change. It's just about them existing. I remember, man, and the same, I remember 30 years ago, I was surfing at Sunshine Beach up the Sunshine Coast there, and I went to the public toilet there, and who knows that on the backs of doors in public toilets are the place where poets and wordsmiths sharpen and hone their skills. There's always something written there, isn't there? And there's always something. That's in the men's. I don't know about the women's. Is that? They're in the women's. They have wordsmiths and poets too. That's good. And I remember reading in the back of this, and this is what it said now. It said 30 years ago, mutate now, avoid the rush. In other words, there's all over, there's no hope, it's a waste of time, there's no value in being here, it's all about existing. Mutate now, avoid the rush. See, just getting through life is not the plan that God has for us. I mean, really, if you think about it, even living is a lot of energy, it's a lot of work, you go through different challenges, there's troubles, there's problems you've got to overcome. And I figure this, if you're going to all the trouble of just doing life, then why not make it count for something great anyway? If you're going through all that trouble anyway, then let's make it count. Vision is the power of making a difference. So tonight, number one is this, you need to have vision. You need to have vision. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. Who read Habakkuk this week? Who's heard of Habakkuk before? Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 2 says this. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. There is no doubt that the Bible speaks very clearly of the power of vision. Vision is a picture of where you are heading. Vision is who you want to end up being. Vision is what you want to do while you live in this planet. Vision is a dream with a plan. A vision without a plan is just a dream, but a vision with a plan, a dream with a plan is vision. And many young people say, well, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, man, exactly, or who I want to be yet. And so it's hard for them to see. But the point is that God's asking you not to worry about the end result. He's asking you to jump into somebody else's vision until you find your own. So the whole plan of being involved with the kingdom and church purposes is that in that contribution, you start to find out who you are and what God's called you to do. And so don't worry about, well, I haven't got it all clear cut yet. I don't know exactly what I'm meant to do, because I've watched volunteers come in and out of this church over the years I've been here, and they started with no idea of what God's called them to do. But being here and serving in the house and being involved, they start to develop their gifts and their talents. And in that place, God starts to show them who they are and what they can do. So don't worry too much right now and say, well, I'm not sure. No, get involved with the purposes and the plans of God. And in that place, serve the other vision or God's vision, and you start to find your own. It says that in Luke chapter 16, verse 12. It says, and if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? In other words, that if you want your own dream, your own vision, your own destiny, your own calling of God, the best way to find that is to serve somebody else's. And in that place, God is able to talk to you and start to put you in the right direction. Because as you serve another vision or God's vision, you start to really discover and develop your gifts and talents, which is essential in helping you understand the you that God's called you to be. No one sees the end properly until you're really close to it. And too many people are waiting for, what's the will of God for my life? Or what has God called me to do? No, don't have those questions. Jump into the journey of the plan of God. See, you're not gonna see the end result until you're really close to it. If you get in a boat and you're going to another land, you're going in that general direction, but you can't see where you're gonna get off the boat until you get closer. And it's only when you get close enough to see the shore do you realize, that's the end result. And if you can't see the end result, it just means you're not close enough yet. The plan of God is not to be so worried about the end product as it is to get into the journey or the adventure of what God's called us to do. And as we do that step by step, He will start to identify what He has got for your life and who you're meant to be. You don't know what the end is going to look like until you're really close to it. You know, as I stand here as a senior pastor, when I got into church life, when I got saved, my concept of being was never an idea of being a senior pastor. I didn't have a dream or a vision to be a senior pastor. I didn't even want to pray. I had no concept like that. All I went into kingdom purposes was, God, you've saved me. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And in that journey, I started to discover the gifts and the talents that God had in my life. And some of them surprised me and some didn't. But in that journey, I found my way. Now I look back and say, well, this is what you've always planned for me, but back then I didn't know it. Don't worry about the end. Jump on the journey now. And in that process, you'll find what God has for you and what He's called you. Vision is not knowing the end. Vision is getting the general direction that God wants us to go. We've got to jump into that boat of vision and purpose and get in the general direction, get involved, and God will sort out the rest. Your purpose and your vision will become clearer piece by piece. And no matter what part we play, what our calling is, whether it's in business or ministry or in family, what our vision looks like, it doesn't matter what job we have. At the end of the day, we are all called to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God. That's why we have a vision, because it tells us who we are. We don't understand all the bits and pieces, but it doesn't matter what we do, that's what God's called us to do. See, the church is not planning for rapture, it's planning for revival. You know, I've got so many Christians that have got a sword in one hand, a suitcase in the other. Don't know whether to fight or fly. But we're not planning for rapture, we're planning for changing the generation that we live in. It's not time for the silencing of the lambs, it's time for the roaring of the lambs. This is about the time the church rises to its peak in a day we're closer to the return of Christ than ever before. We need to understand the days that we live in. Today, as we start there, this message is supposed to be like a laxative. It's here to get you moving. This is tonight's purpose, is to get you stirred up and moving. And not just moving into busyness and activity. We don't want you so tired you wear yourselves out and you exhaust yourself, start with a huge spark and then you're like a fading star. No, when we talk about vision, it's not being into busyness and activity, it's a vision of making a difference. Israelites, come out of Egypt, man. They were really busy because they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. Man, there was lots of dust, but people were going nowhere. There was lots of activity, there was lots of flapping, but no one was leaving the ground. We're not called to wear ourselves out into activity and business. We're called to have vision that changes the world that we live in. It's important that we gather this properly from a good perspective. So tonight, first you need to have vision. Vision is always about making a difference. We're designed by God for bigger things than just paying off our bills. We're designed for bigger things than just wearing the latest fashions. We're designed for bigger things than being entertained by every size widget under the clouds. We're designed for bigger things than when we retire, we get the latest caravan and travel around Australia. In other words, none of those things are wrong, but we're designed for greater things than that. There's nothing wrong with those things, but we've got to understand, listen, if it was all about survival, if it was all about that's all we need to do, pay our bills and, man, wear our clothes and be entertained on Apple. And if that was all about, we as humans are over-designed. We are so, God could have designed a much more basic model. He could have left out imagination, creativity, the ability to do math, science. He could have left all those things out, but He created us in such a way, not for average, but for greatness. Not to survive, but to make a difference. Not to make the world a worse place, but to make it a better place. That's what we're called to do. The picture I want to get to you tonight is vision is understanding they're here to make a difference. God has designed us for greatness. You know, back in 1964, who was born in 1964? Me, all right. And back in 1964, they invented the first computer. The first one ever. This is it. This is the breakthrough. 1964, the computer was so big, it took up a whole story of an office building. One computer. And they were so excited. And you know what their dream was? You know what they could see in the future? They looked down the future and they thought, you know what? We can make this smaller. And they started to work on it. You know what their dream was? Listen to this. Their dream was to make that computer that took up the whole level of an office block small enough that it would fit into a child's bedroom. And now you look at the computers you wear on your wrist. They had no picture of the end result. They just looked at the journey of where they were going, and as they got there, God showed them the new place to go to. Every design and creativity that we have comes from heaven. So you and I don't have to worry about the end result. We don't have to know 50 years from now. We've just got to get on the journey of possibility. Vision is seeing possibility. It's moving into that place of who I could be, what I could do. Vision makes a difference. Vision is a dream with a plan. I'm off to the States in a little while tonight, and when I go to America, it always fascinates me because they're fascinated by Australians. They know nothing about us. They say, we're from Australia. Oh, we love Australia. Is that near Germany? They're fascinated, and their main thing is, I want to go to Australia one day. They've got these dreams. You really want to go to Australia? Oh, I'd love to go to Australia. And what they have is a dream. So what I start to do is give them a plan. I said, why don't you? I haven't thought about that. Oh, it's too expensive. I said, well, if you start saving now, you can put so much away. Airfares are about this much money. It'll cost you about this much money to live there. And within 2 years, you could have your dream played off. You see, dreams are dreams until you have a plan to them, and that plan becomes a vision. The dream becomes a vision. And if you start to put your life in perspective with that, you start to walk down that track of, you know what, oh, I need a picture of what God has, and then I need to put some sort of plan together to be involved with what God's doing so I can see what He's called me to do in the end. So you need to have a vision, number one. Number two is you need to do the vision. Not just have a vision or have vision, but do it. The opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of the opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of that opportunity. Our opportunity is our life. It's our life. It's your life. And don't let it slip through your fingers. See, the Bible says life is like a vapor. It doesn't mean it's mystical. It just means that it's very hard to hold on to. And all of a sudden, you're 20. And then all of a sudden, you're 30. And then as it slips through your fingers, you look around and go, oh my gosh, I've got children. I mean, now, and then all of a sudden you're turning 40, George, isn't it? Just, you don't know that. You know, it just, all of a sudden, you're 40. And you're here now going 20, oh, that's ridiculous. But you know what? You know, it's like a vapor. It just goes so fast. And then you turn around and you're having your 50th birthday like Mike Mulheron. And, you know, And all of a sudden you've got grandkids in it, and all of a sudden this life that you are looking at now is like this. Don't miss the opportunity of a lifetime, because it only lasts the lifetime of the opportunity. Living vision, it's not about just having vision, it's about living it every day. See, vision is not some place or destination. Vision is a journey, and it's about looking at every day from the concept of the possibility of opportunities. It's taking hold of every opportunity that every new day brings. You do well to have vision, but you do better to do vision. James chapter 2. When you get to heaven, you'll know who James is, because he'll be by himself. He has no friends. I'm never encouraged when I read James. As a matter of fact, I avoid the book of James as much as I can. He doesn't mince his words. He doesn't mess around. Every time I read the book of James, it's almost like that somehow he reaches through the book, grabs me by the collar and says, look at this, you idiot. That's James. But that's a good thing sometimes. And he says this in chapter 2 regarding having vision and doing vision. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Somebody says they've got a vision, but not actually doing it. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart, be in peace, I'll pray for you, be warm and filled. Isn't that our escape mechanism? What a mess. Oh, I'll pray for you. You know, I'm starving. Oh, no, I'll pray for you. It'll fill your stomach. Yeah, good. And I'm like, my car's broken. Oh, I'll pray for you. Yeah, good. This is what James says. He says, if your brother or sister's naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, depart in peace, be warm, be filled in Jesus' name. But do you not give them the things which they are needed for the body? What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Don't just have a vision, do the vision. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. I'm a spirit-led person. You're one of those doing people that helps people. I hear the Spirit. I'm a prophet. I'm prophetic. It's like this. You have works, but I have faith, you know. Like, listen, if you want to feel led all the time, pick up a pencil. If you're just prophetic and helping somebody's beneath you, you've missed the whole plan of God. If it was just all about the Spirit, we'd all be Caspers. But God has us flesh and spirit combined. And that's what James is saying. Have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well, but even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, you idiot, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. So you do well to have a vision. You do well to have a dream, but the reality of the difference is that it's not just having it, it's now doing it. Faith and works come together. Faith and works are what God requires of us all. Vision and works is the plan of God. Having a dream or a vision without doing it is like window shopping. Have you ever considered why people window shop? I mean, the concept behind it, really, think about it. The concept behind window shopping is, for a moment, you had to feel good. I'd look good in that. I'd look good driving that. You see, window shopping is that sense of, I want the feeling of it without paying the price for it. And many people window shop because it's cheap. Bottom line, it costs you nothing, but it's very momentary. So the reason people window shop is they're not prepared to pay the price for what's in the shop. They're not prepared to lay it down for what's really there. Don't live your life as a window shopper in the spirit. Don't be one that always looks through the glass pane of faith and never goes beyond that and starts to lay down the cash and believe and do what God's called you to do. Don't just pray for that person that's in need, do something about it. Don't live your life in such a way. Work out what you want, what God's called you to do, where you want to go, what you want to change, who you want to be, then walk in, throw the cash down on the table, take it out of the window and wear it, for goodness sake. Don't live your life as a window shopper. People who have vision weigh up the cost, pay the price, and live the dream. And it's funny, every time I use the word pay the price, it's almost like you can feel going, yeah, I'm going to pay the price. When I have to pay the price for something I love, I never feel like that. I mean, when I go to buy a brand new surfboard, I don't walk in and go, I'm going to pay the price. I can't believe you're charging me all that money for that surfboard. Unbelievable. You guys are, I can't believe that. What is this sort of thing? How come? No. When I pay the price for something I have vision for, it's not painful. I love going in because I'm not looking at what I'm putting down. I'm looking at what I'm getting back. And people with vision don't see as much as what's leaving as what's returning. About paying the price is not some horrible thing to them. It's a part of the deal. If you want to live the dream, you've got to pay the price. And if we're prepared to pay the price, then we can start to not just window shop, but live the dream that God has for us. To start to not just have a vision, but to live the vision. You know, we're about to go into New Zealand, Auckland. Fush and chops. Our first Easter concert, Jesus was a New Zealander. It's destroyed my whole picture of Jesus. Not in a bad way, but it just, I thought to myself as he was there playing Jesus, he had a really good role, a good part, great actor, but I thought to myself, Jesus could never be a New Zealander. Because he said this, and I'll make you fushes of men. And that was it for me. Jesus could never be a New Zealander. But we're going to pay the price to go into Auckland. Because we've got a dream to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God. I'm not upset about paying that price. It's going to cost us time, effort, money, resources, people. But I'm not upset about that, about paying that price. Why? Because I'm not looking at what we're investing. I'm looking at the return. People with vision don't see what's leaving as much as they see. They understand. They're wise about it. But they understand it's the return that counts. That's what makes a difference with people that haven't got vision and people that can see beyond where they are right now. Don't go to your grave. I know you're young, but life is but like a vapor, and one day you'll end up as old as George, and then Mike, That's really old. And then me. I'm the second oldest on the staff. I've got to keep Stuart on just so I'm not the oldest person on the staff. Stuart will have a job for the rest of his life because I don't want to be known as the oldest person on the staff. I've always hated the word senior pastor. You know, like, you're the senior. No, I'm not. I'm young. You're the senior. And I was trying for years to come up with a word that was better than senior pastor. And I finally, now it's all changed to the lead pastor. And I thought, at last, somebody's come up with a decent word, not senior pastor, the lead pastor. But now I'm so old, senior pastor suits. Don't go to your grave with your dreams in your boots. Start to search for the vision God has. And if you're not sure, jump into the vision of the kingdom, into what God has for us here at the church, and you'll start to see the plan of God for your life. Jump into your opportunity. It's your life. Tonight, my mission as we start the year is to give you a bit of a push, just to get you moving a little bit in the direction of what's possible. I went to school in the inner city, and every now and then we go up to Centenary Pool up there at Gregory Terrace. Is it still there? Yeah, Centenary Pool, at a 10-meter high diving board. And a lot of times we used to go and jump off that diving board and for a bit of a rush and the whole thing. And we had one of our friends in our group, man, he could never jump. He'd go all the way up the stairs, all the way to the top, get right to the edge. He'd try so hard to let go. And he couldn't. It used to drive us mad. And of course, the worst thing about not jumping is you've got to walk down against everybody coming up. And you are called everything. You know, you are, the whole thing, you are slammed the whole way. We'd watch him every time as he walked down past all these people and they'd laugh at him, hey, okay, the whole thing. And it was just such a miserable thing watching him do that. So this one day he got right to the end and he stood there and he was going to jump and he pulled back. So one of our group pushed him and he screamed, bloop, 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 bloop. We waited. Eventually, Bubbles, he came to the surface with the biggest smile and says, that was awesome. And you know what? Some of you need to know, as God's pushing you, that it's not going to be as bad as you think. As a matter of fact, you're going to turn around and go, you know what? That was pretty awesome. To be a little adventurous. When I was pastoring in Noosa, I had a lady in a church, a marriage had just broken up, and she was pregnant, and she was by herself now. She was a single mom. She had another child, I think, and she's pregnant anyway. She's by herself and at a house, and all of a sudden, labor comes on. And so she jumps into the car and throws the other little child in this car seat and starts driving to the hospital. But she doesn't make it to the hospital. The baby starts to come out, and all of a sudden she pulls over to the side of the road and she has the baby in the front seat of her car by herself. She tells the story. She said, just to pass the mark, she said the baby came out and it was so slippery it rolled off the seat and underneath the seat. She said, I had to go down and find it. And I'm picking this little baby up and it had grease and dirt. There was a McDonald's packet stuck under its arm. I mean, it's a little, and what was worse is that you've got to understand it was still attached to the mother by the umbilical cord. So as she's telling me, she said, the building, the jump. And all I could think of was this baby bungee jumping into life. Woohoo, Jesus, here I am. Don't tell me that boy's not an adventurer now. Sometimes we've got to jump in to the opportunity that we have and don't miss our moment. Jump into the journey of life and do good and bring God to our generation. The power of vision is not to make us busy, it's to make a difference. What really held Jesus on the cross of Calvary? What really kept him there? You know, Pastor Mark, was nails. Yeah, I'm not so sure that nails kept Jesus on that cross. You can't nail the Creator to his creation unless he wants you to. It wasn't nails that held him there. He could have come off any time he wanted. He didn't have to go there. He was the creator of all things. He's Jesus. So what really held him on that cross? Can I tell you, what held Jesus on a cross 2,000 years ago wasn't nails, it was a vision. It was looking through the eons of time and seeing the millions and millions of people that would be set free from their sins, their hurt, their pain, their sickness. You can't keep him there if he doesn't. He sat on that cross, not nailed with nails, but nailed with a vision. He saw you, he saw me. And that vision that made a difference. Not only did he have a vision, he did the vision. He sacrificed himself on a cross 2,000 years ago. And the context of that is that our sins should have put us there, yet he's taken that away from us through his death. Him being there, he could have easily said, I don't go. He could have easily said, no, and angels would have come to his aid. He was the creator of the universe. Vision is the power of doing good. Vision is the thing that makes a difference. In 2015, what are you thinking? What are you seeing? What are you looking for? What are you looking at? Is this the year we take it up a level? Is this the year we decide, you know what? Jesus is really the answer for our generation.